Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. So on this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share a conversation I recently recorded with an Executive MBA format student in our class of 2021, Michael Long. Michael and I recently sat down to talk a little bit more about his background, why he decided to pursue an MBA, and how he's enjoying his first year at the Darden School of Business. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Michael Long. Well, Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Brett, thank you. I'm happy to be here and happy to be selected for this episode.
Well, it's great to talk with you. We share a common bond. I'm a North Carolinian. You are a North Carolinian. We're two North Carolinians on the podcast. It's great to have you here. I want to check in and just see how you're doing before we go further with the conversation. How are things? How's your family?
Everything's going great. Very much chaotic, though, with what's occurring with COVID-19 and then just the events of working from home, distance learning. But everything is going great. It is also awesome to see that what I'm learning in global economics and seeing that come to light in what's happening to the economy.
Yeah, that's right. Y'all are taking global economics right now.
Yes, and it's very fascinating, and it definitely helps with my learning to kind of live through this as I learn.
I can imagine, and for folks who've kept up with UVA and Darden updates, you know, for at least the time being, for right now, we've transitioned to virtual classes, as many other schools have. Close followers of the Executive MBA program will know that a third of the program is delivered already via distance learning, so a medium that our students are comfortable with. How's that going so far, Michael? Any thoughts, reflections on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think first, definitely kudos to the Darden faculty, administration, staff. You guys have been awesome, phenomenal, and just presenting us with information and then also being dynamic with us with going to online courses for certain of our residencies and then just the plethora of information that comes out and just being attentive to our questions and our needs.
No, that's great. It's a great team of people who support the students in this program. And times like these, that you're particularly reminded of that.
Yes. And which is why I'm happy I chose Darden. It's just a huge first class operation that's happening. And then just the experience and connection I have with the folks like you and other Darden members.
So, Michael, how long had you thought about an MBA? I still remember when you came for your class visit, and obviously we got to spend some time together on that day. Had you been thinking about it for a while?
Yes. I actually been thinking about it probably since I started with my new company or my current company, which is the MITRE Corporation. I started with them in 2015, and I started thinking about an MBA, but I never truly was truly sincere about it or become an active seeker of an MBA. But recently, this past year, I was promoted into management. And with that promotion, that's when it kind of just clicked for me to look at an MBA, look at how it can help me and my skills and looking into management as well as continue along the technical track. And so I was looking at programs and Darden was definitely one of them. I was able to go through the sit in the class. And that's when I had a lot of excitement, but definitely a lot of anxiety looking at, oh, man, I'm about to do this or this is what I want to do.
Yeah, I think there is that moment that hits people. It might be during that class visit. It might be at another time when people realize, oh, man, I'm going back to school. It's been a little while since I've been in an academic environment. How long had it been since you had been in a classroom?
It's been about 10 years, just the thought of just continuing another degree and just understanding the needs of school and what comes with it.
Absolutely. So let's talk about your background a little bit. Had you taken a lot of business courses at the undergraduate level or prior to showing up at Darden?
No. I think the closest business-related class I probably have taken in undergrad and even in grad school was related to ethics. Outside of that, I mean, I'm a computer science undergrad, computer science concentration in information assurance for my grad or my master's. And so just anything business related was never just, I never had that thought until I got to my turn and I knew I wanted to pursue management. But I'm fully technical, everything, programming, coding, cyber defense is really what my background had been coming into Darden.
So you have this computer background. You have taken a lot of business courses prior to coming to Darden. What has that adjustment been like for you? Obviously, going back to school, you talked about being a little anxious about that. What has it been like coming back to an academic environment? Obviously, a case method environment where you're going to have to show up and participate in class. Talk a little bit more about that.
It's definitely that feeling of going down a roller coaster and taking like that 1,000-foot drop and just that exhilaration. It has been really rewarding. It definitely has taken me some time to kind of get adjusted to it and get back in the swing of things. What I've really enjoyed, though, is just the breadth of friends I have been able to make, meaning just like the people that I don't think I would have probably come in contact with if I did not come to Darden, and folks that are more so outside of the IT or technical field. That has been awesome for me. I've been able to learn from others, expand my network, and then just seeing how they approach problems within their sphere of knowledge. So talking to a financial guy about somebody versus a technical person or somebody from HR has been really fascinating to learn. And then also hearing how they approach some of the problems in the cases that we discuss in class has been amazing.
My guess is that was part of the appeal of coming to a place like Darden, where you're going to have this interactive, discursive learning experience. You're going to be around a lot of different kinds of people, and you're going to hear how they think about problems.
Right. Yeah. And I think I did not truly appreciate it in my class visit. I mean, a lot of it was just, my thoughts was, man, here I am about to do school all over again. But then when I'm actually in there and now I'm having to participate and share my thought, I mean, it was scary at first, but it has really been awesome and phenomenal about being able to connect with folks and just participating, learning, and then applying it, being able to apply what I do talk about or what we do talk about in class to maybe some things and some efforts we're doing at work.
Absolutely. One of the things that came up on a webinar we hosted for our incoming students a couple weeks ago was this idea that everybody in an executive MBA program is in this together. You're all moving in the same direction, all working towards the same goal. It's not competitive. It's collaborative. And I'm wondering how that has played out in your Darden experience thus far, acknowledging that you are in, as we're recording this, in quarter four, so approaching the midpoint of the program.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that is what has really been awesome for me, is that I know in my given area that I would feel like I am the strongest link. But then when it comes to the business background, I have often felt like, man, I don't think I can grasp this, or I may be the weakest link. But the cohorts, have been really awesome about kind of no man left behind, checking on you, Mike. Hey, do you need anything? Or, hey, what can I do? Or do you understand this? And making themselves available, not only the students, but also just the administration as well. And so it's just that camaraderie, that collaborative space, and then just that space of vulnerability with this cohort that I've been able to experience as well, that I have been challenged, but also have been able to grow, not just by myself, but with my cohort.
Yeah, and to your point about, you know, people checking in and how are things going and supporting you, for folks who have not had an opportunity to come for a class visit and kind of see what that dynamic looks like, we're obviously based in the Washington, D.C. area. We have weekend residencies that are once a month. And if you come for one of those visits, you will see lots of program staff around during the weekends, not just faculty, but all the program staff that help support the execution of the weekend residencies. Oftentimes, the dean of the program, Jim Dietert, will be here, director of student affairs, Laura Bordoni. These folks have been on the podcast and can, you know, obviously, I encourage you to check their episodes out, too. It takes a village, and you know, I can't underscore this enough. You're not progressing through this program on your own, to Michael's point.
Definitely, and definitely want to do a kudos to you, Brett. I mean, you're definitely attentive as well, as long as with the other staff. And I mean, it's truly a white glove experience, I would say, just from the educational standpoint, but then just also with the relationships that you build with the cohorts and with the faculty.
So let's talk about the experience of sort of progressing from the start of school to where you are now. We talk a lot about Darden being an iterative process where you get progressively sort of better at class, you get better at managing the workload. How has that learning curve been? How do you feel about where you are now versus where you were when you began?
Oh man, I feel much better. You know, earlier I mentioned going down the curve or the steep descent with the roller coaster, but I feel like I'm coming back up. And you know, it's just been really awesome. My biggest hurdle in the beginning was just time management, and just understanding how do I be a parent, how do I become a better manager, and then how do I become a better student? And so first, I just kind of felt like, man, I was just in this crazy whirlwind of chaos in the beginning. Just like, hey, where do I divvy my time and just how does all this help me in the end? But now in Q4, I've definitely been able to step back and breathe a little bit and just see like, man, I've been able to find a lot of success in what I've been venturing into so far. And it's helped me at home just understanding, hey, time constraints and making sure I'm very much present with my family and then being engaged with my team and then also being engaged with my cohorts as well.
So one of the top popular topics that we often engage with here on the podcast is time management strategies. All of our listeners, as they're thinking about balancing school and life and work, are thinking about, how are you doing this, Michael? What are the things that you have found work well for you in terms of managing your time? You had mentioned being present. That certainly resonates with a lot of the other conversations we've had here. But what are, you know, even simple practical tips that you found have worked? What are some of your favorite strategies?
Scheduling. Pick a schedule. Know what's on the calendar. See what's happening. See what's occurring. And stay committed to that schedule. So for us, Tuesdays and Thursdays are our distance courses. So Tuesdays and Thursdays, that's always blocked off. You know, that Monday or Wednesday, do something with the family. Pick a family moment, a family outing. And then on the weekends, if we're not in residency, make sure you're looking ahead on that schedule and just try to, if you have a free day or free block of time on Saturday or Sunday, pick a few courses and classes and just study and review that material. Other parts of that day or that weekend, block it with your family, your friends, and then just also find time to just disconnect, do something, be it running. I'm a huge basketball fan, so play basketball, or just socialize, but just find some time to also disconnect because that is huge for your mental health as well.
Yeah, a lot of the students talk about non-negotiables, right? So what are the things that are the biggest priorities in your life that you want to build your schedule around? It sounds like that's your approach.
Yeah, definitely number one is my wife and my daughter and my son. But then also just basketball. I need at least 2 hours out of the whole week to be able to just do some type of basketball. I need to absorb it somehow, some way. So if it's either me playing or it's me watching TV or watching some sports team play, those are my non-negotiables. Outside of that, I'm committed to doing what I need to do for school as well as for work.
So the other conversation that we're starting to have with admitted students is around preparing your family. And talking with partners, spouses, significant others, children, even people at work. Obviously, work colleagues are affected. People will miss days of work to participate in this program. How did you approach those conversations?
So definitely with my family first, my wife, I said, hey, this is what I'm thinking about. And, you know, I asked her for her decision or her input. And, you know, she was a little bit leery at first. And I was like, great, I'm going to do it anyway. And so... you know, she was very much supportive. I did get the side eye in the beginning, But definitely I knew that she will always be very supportive and will always have my back. And so that was my first checkbox that I needed to do. And then understanding the constraints or the that will come with that, meaning I won't always be present maybe those Tuesdays and Thursdays to pick up my daughter from daycare. So then just helping her go ahead and navigate childcare or even on the weekends. Hey, can we reach out to family or friends up here? And then finding the space and having that connection with my management at my job was awesome because they've been supportive of me even from when I started at MITRE to now that I was able to just ask them like, hey, are you guys supportive of me pursuing my MBA? Understanding that this is a demanding school program, and they very much were. And then just having that conversation with my team in which I managed, knowing, hey, it's going to be tough for me. I can't answer every email or be as present as you all may like or may have been used to, but I will be responsive. Just may not be as immediate as in the past. But everybody has been very supportive. Communication has been the biggest thing about that in terms of making everybody aware and having that discussion.
Yeah, we hear a lot about it being an ongoing conversation. You know, of course, you should be having these conversations before you decide to apply. I think we feel very strongly that you should approach your supervisor as you even begin the research process and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. This is how, you know, I'd like to grow my career. This is how I think an MBA fits in. But in addition, you should talk with your partner, significant other, spouse, whoever is in your life may be most directly impacted by this, and make sure that you have that person's buy-in and support. Because when you're away for class, you will have your portion of the domestic responsibilities, household chores, and insert whatever you want to describe that here, will shift to that person.
Yes, yes. And that's your bargaining chip, because you guys know it's a temporary inconvenience for permanent improvement. So I may not have it right now, but I got you, wife, on the backside, or significant other on the backside. Once I graduate, then we all can celebrate and I can do a little bit more dishwashing or whatever that duty may be.
And one of our favorite things about graduation is that it is very much a family affair. I think most students will tell you when they walk across that stage, they feel like they're walking across the stage on behalf of all of their family and supporters, everyone that's made it possible for them to be there.
Yeah, and I cannot wait. I have that date circled on my calendar with a big star. But I already know that I'm going to miss the cohort once that time comes. Just the building of the bonds and just the connections I've been able to develop already. And this is already in Q4.
And it sounds like that's been an ongoing conversation between you and your wife as you have sort of progressed through the program. I imagine, you know, some quarters are a little bit heavier, some quarters maybe a little bit lighter. You're now halfway through your fourth quarter. Can you talk a little bit about that sort of rhythm? And we do tell students from time, you know, that the time commitment will vary depending upon what classes you take. I wonder how that's played out in your life.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest quarter that required a lot of understanding is my Q2 course, where I was able to go to Brazil for our global residency. And so that was immediately after Q1, going into Q2. And, you know, I'm just got into school and now I'm already going to Brazil. And so my wife, my family were very much supportive, very understanding. And so while that was a lot and required me to be away for a whole week, you know, they were very much present with me while I was gone and just checking in while I was gone, but also just filling in the holes and the gaps that I may have been missing while I was away, but also at work. I mean, just having that understanding from my job and that support as well.
Yeah, it was fun being on that trip with y'all. That was my first global residency, your first global residency. So it was a great trip. I'd never been to Brazil before. I'm guessing you probably hadn't been to Brazil before either.
Never been to Brazil. And I think that's what really, really made me feel extremely excited and proud of the decision I made of selecting Darden is just through that experience of the global residency. And I think that's where I was able to even grow closer with my classmates that was able to go with me in Brazil. And just having that experience, going to somewhere I've never been before and bonding with people that I've just entered into this program and learning as well. That was really awesome. And then also just understanding and putting that global mindset to foreign businesses and how they run their programs and corporations.
So I recognize that it's early days for you in the program. As mentioned, you certainly have momentum at this point. The midway point of the program is in sight. But I wonder how the program has already affected the work that you're doing at work, how it's changed your perspective. You mentioned, you know, obviously being in global economics at this time with a lot going on in the broader global economy. How has the program impacted you thus far?
I think while me learning and kind of going through some of the global economics and understanding the crisis in which we're facing collectively, I think one of the biggest things that I've been able to take away so far from this program is the leadership communication in which we were going through in Q3 and just understanding the criticality of effective communication and being able to not only communicate, but also to relate and have empathy when you are communicating, especially in a crisis in which we're facing, and just having that hat on from a leadership perspective of understanding who your audience is, understanding the message, the mechanism and tool in which you're using. And I think that has really been the biggest eye opener for me right now, and I have a huge appreciation of just having that class and talking about communication.
Yeah, it's interesting to me. We hear a lot from prospective students or students as they're coming in. The focus is oftentimes on the technical aspects of the program. So, for example, accounting, finance, these kind of gaps that people feel that they have. But when you talk to alumni or people at the end of the program, and maybe you're already starting to feel this, the biggest impact of the program is oftentimes on their sort of self-awareness and leadership approach and their communication skills and things that tend to skew more towards the interpersonal EQ end of the spectrum. I'm curious how you think about the impact of the program and that statement.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree. I definitely feel like I am closer to the interpersonal area, but in what I feel like I thought coming in, it was like I was already an effective leader and I'm an effective communicator. So there's not really much for me to learn or take away here. But I was very much humbled in some of the cases in which we have gone through. And then even to combine that with me trying to charge or tackle, like how would I approach this case or this crisis in which we're facing and going through a global leadership perspective, and then also just a human resource manager perspective. How can I help my team, my company, kind of go through these quote unquote storms right now? And I think I was able to learn and take away so much, and it has actually sharpened me greatly to where I am now a better communicator and one that is able to take my mindset and make it as much that of my audience and diversify it much more.
Yeah, you think about the crucible of that classroom experience, hearing from all those perspectives, hearing all the different approaches to looking at the same set of facts and situation. I think it has to make you a better communicator because you start thinking about, well, this is how I look at the problem, but I'm reminded every time I go to class of the fact that there's many different ways to look at any problem.
Yes, and what's really fascinating and funny is one of our cases kind of dealt with a pandemic and how we would respond to it. And so it's just, wow, Darden was kind of ahead of the curve. And now it's just like, wow, everything that we just did in a certain case and discussed, let's do some real life application. And then, like you said, I mean, there's different perspectives that you will have in this class that has different mindsets, that are thinking more so on the accounting and the budget and the economics, as opposed to maybe somebody that may have a mindset on the people and how this affects the workers. And then now we just bringing all these ideas and thoughts together and figuring out, now let's come with a unified message and mindset in tackling some of these problems.
Yeah, and to be clear, you will absolutely get accounting, finance, decision analysis, economics, all of these sort of core business areas, just as you will get all the leadership and interpersonal emotional quotient development. I think that's one of the real appeals of general management, is that it's broad. You know, we focus on the enterprise perspective. What we talk about a lot, Michael, and I'm curious about your take on this. We talk a lot about, from an admissions standpoint, we talk about fluency, right? The ability to sort of have a perspective, to speak on many topics, to be in a meeting with a finance person or a marketer, and to have a perspective on that person's work. You're obviously not going to be the expert in that interaction, but you're going to be able to ask good questions and ultimately be able to take that information and make a decision with it. Does that resonate with your experience thus far?
It does. And I think that's one of the greatest impacts that going through this program has allowed for me, is to be better or even more well-rounded. When I go into meetings, you know, I don't feel like I have to kind of get lost in the back and I'm going to just sit this one out, to where I'm very much present, because, oh, if we're going to talk about finances, I may not be able to ask or know the answer to questions that's being asked, but I know how to find it. And I know exactly what you're referencing or alluding to. And then I will be able to provide useful information or feedback based upon any topic, from the economics of what we may be facing, or the forecasting in our financials, or just looking at the general accounting. And so that has been a huge value add, and has even just allowed me to be even more fluent in my meetings and taking it back at work in my day to day, even just talking to friends and informing them about the economics of the COVID-19 and what that truly means.
Yeah, so I'm curious about your ability to sort of draw a line from what you're doing in class to work. You mentioned you work in cyber, IT, you know, obviously things that have a real tech component, technology focus to them. Are you able to take what you're learning back to work? It sounds like certainly you're able to connect it in meetings. I'm curious the other ways that it might be sort of shaping your work.
Yes, a lot of it is, you know, we in my operations class, which we're taking right now, just looking at, you know, how productive are we? Is there a way that we can be a little bit more efficient in what stuff that we're producing, such as incident response, right? If we implemented maybe some technology, could that help us with detection or alerting capabilities? Is that giving us a more throughput? Are we optimizing our capacity? So kind of taking that mindset and looking at where are some bottlenecks in our incident response chain, and then where are areas of opportunity maybe to increase capacity? So, yeah, I would have never thought, man, taking operations and would allow me to maybe look at how effective are we in our incident response capabilities at work.
No, I think that's a great point, that sometimes people are surprised by the classes that are helpful to them. You know, I think there's always something to take away. Operations is one of those great classes because of all the simulations you do. It's such a dynamic class. Obviously, all the classes are interactive because of the way that you learn at Darden. But I've always enjoyed walking in on the operations classes, where there's some simulation, there's some kind of game going on as a way of helping you learn the concept.
And yes, that was definitely my first sit-in at Darden, was the operations class, and I was able to be an active participant in the simulation. And so that was very awesome to play games on a class visit.
So, Michael, as you reflect back on what you've done and you look ahead, what's to come in the program, what are you looking forward to?
One thing we talk about in our experience in Darden is, do you want to be a switcher, a climber, or entrepreneur? And so for me, I very much evident, I want to be a climber. And so I want to continue to get this well-rounded education, experiences, and diverse thought. And then just taking everything I learned and the tools that I learned from the program and be able to leverage that to help me climb in the cybersecurity field and be able to achieve certain projects that I'm working on and to reflect like, hey, this is without this darting component, man, I think I would have been able, I would not have been able to find that success or have the same amount of success, or it probably would have taken me longer, if at all, to achieve it.
So you are now almost a second year student, we should say, or closing in on that date. What would be your advice to prospective students out there? You remember being a prospective student and going through the sort of research and decision-making process. What would you share with them?
One of the biggest things I feel like has been really valuable is my connections I've been able to have with the program ahead of me, which is the 2020 class. So when you do a class visit, really engage with maybe your buddy that's going to kind of show you around doing class visits and just ask them true questions. And I would assume more often than not, they will try to connect with you. They will just say, hey, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out and ask me. And then just leverage that resource and get an understanding of what their hurdles may have been, what some of their successes may have been, and just understanding what pointers or tips that they can provide to you. And then just go all in, right? Just have fun, engage with the faculty, engage with the administration, because they're also awesome. Talk to Brett, talk to Laura, talk to any of the other staffs that's there. You know, because they're definitely going to be there for you, very supportive, and they're really cool people.
Well, I appreciate that endorsement, Michael. Obviously, one of the great parts about this job is that you get to spend so much time with prospective students and really get to know people over the process. I can't say enough about sort of building those relationships across class. So obviously, you've got 135 classmates, roughly speaking, in your class. Has it been fun having everybody here in the DC area together here in Roslyn?
Oh, it's been phenomenal. I mean, we always are doing something collectively after we're learning. We're always sharing stories in between residencies of what has happened, any new updates. And then we're just building upon the relationships and expanding our network. And then we're also able to have tough conversations about our backgrounds and some of our thought process. And so I think that's what has really been really awe-inspiring and then allowed us to connect. I mean, because everybody comes in with positive intentions. Everybody is respectful. And it just goes back to the village mindset. I mean, we're all a village. We're here to look out for each other and we're trying to collaborate.
Yeah, and we get asked all the time about the network, and we encourage people to think about it in terms of concentric rings. So your most immediate network is obviously your classmates, so the group of people that you were in school with, but then obviously you have executive MBA alumni, and then everybody here at Darden, regardless of MBA format, graduates with the exact same degree. So you have Darden alumni, and then one of the benefits of being a Darden student is that you also are a UVA student. So you have UVA alumni out there. And be remiss, it's basketball season, Michael. I will say, in the interest of full disclosure, you're a Duke fan, you know, but you also get UVA basketball and UVA sports with being here. For those of you, unlike Michael, who do not have an allegiance already.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, I think that is, I'm happy to come to this program. Number two on my list is UVA basketball. Huge go Hoos, Tony Bennett, defensive mind, just awesome. It's been phenomenal. Unfortunately, the ACC and the NCAA could not complete the tournament, so I don't have to pick between a team. So that's awesome.
That's right. I felt like we had to talk a little basketball with you on here. So, so Michael, I appreciate you taking the time. I recognize it's a hectic time for everyone. Not that easy to carve out time for the podcast, but so appreciative of you taking time out of your schedule. Any last words you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I think this has just been awesome. If you're going through the process and you're looking at choosing a program, I highly recommend UVA, Darden. It's been really phenomenal. It's been transformative for me. I've continued to grow. There's a lot I've been able to take back to work and then just reflect on in my personal time about how I can achieve my goals. So definitely, again, thanks to the program. Thanks to my cohorts. And thanks to the faculty, administration, such as yourself, Brett.
Our pleasure, Michael. We're thrilled that you're at Darden, and you know, stay healthy, be well. Same to your family there. Obviously, look forward to seeing you again in person. But thank you so much for taking time out for the podcast today.
Thank you.
And that was my conversation with Michael Long, an executive MBA format student in our class of 2021. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we are all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA, at darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, be well, stay safe, and thanks for listening.